Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I'm Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. So I'm going to cut right to the chase on this one, Samantha. Do you have any like entertainment you're really excited about? Because we got a lot of stuff that's coming out soon. The holiday season comes up, all these new shows, movies, all of it.
Am I excited by anything? I feel like that's such a sad question because I don't know exactly what's going on. That's part of the problem right now. And I'm so far backtracking and trying to find things that I'm sure oh, here it is. Because I was really excited about Legend of Shang-Chi. I still haven't watched it, which is hilarious.
I was so excited
about it. And then I'm wait, oh, it's out. Why am I not watching it? So things like this where I'm just so caught up in being stressed that I'm still in my current I'm just going to do things on repeat. I told this story not too long ago that I had my sad movie on and I didn't realize I had my sad movie on, which is Ratatouille from way back when. And that's what I've been doing. So I'm excited to get new things, but at the same time, I'm not focused enough to see it.
That's fair.
Or know what's out there.
That's fair. I mean, you can be excited about old things. You know me. I get super excited about movies I've seen a million times. I'm excited for Spider-Man No Way Home. I'm excited for Boba Fett, even though I don't really like Boba Fett.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say it. I'll put it out there.
Oh. Fight somebody. I
like me not win. And I'm excited for Hawkeye. I'm kind of curious. I got a lot of things. A lot of nerd stuff is happening. But the reason I want to bring this up is because I recently kind of got engaged in a where some dude clearly thought I was a fake geek girl, and I was like, "Wait a minute, do you not know who I am?"
Huge mistake.
So, in the spirit of that, we want to bring back this classic episode on the fake geek girl. So please enjoy. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I'm Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. As we record this, listeners, Dragon Con, which is a convention of all things nerddom that drew over 80,000 people last year, is coming to Atlanta. It takes place every Labor Day weekend in the city, taking over 5 hotels in Midtown and pretty much everything in that vicinity, especially Peachtree Mall. I've been going for 8 years now.
Wow.
I've been going for a while. But hilariously, not while I was a student at Georgia Tech, which is both close and is known as a geek college.
It is. It's true.
I didn't even know about it. But Samantha and I will be there, or we were there, depending on when you listen to this. And I will be in costume, either as the Winter Soldier, of course, Hiccup, from How to Train Your Dragon with a Flaming Sword. It's going to be cool. Spider-Woman with perhaps a joke about like Disney and Sony and being a divorced child or something.
Right.
I don't know. Snap Judgment with my favorite drunk purchase I've ever made, the Thanos glove.
Right. You forgot about that one, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. When it showed up, I was like, what is this huge box? Oh, it's an Infinity Gauntlet.
And it's giant.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And I have possible side costumes like Ellie from The Last of Us, Catwoman from The Dark Knight. And that series, she's not in that movie. Don't write in about it. And Hela from Thor Ragnarok.
Nice.
I just love like black, messy eye makeup. I'm in. But come find us. We might be recording.
Right. And I'm going to be there. Mm-hmm. I will not be dressing up. I'm going to be the person in the corner staring around in awe and probably disbelief.
Yes.
I'm going to assume that's going to be my reaction because this will be the first one that I will ever have attended.
Yes.
And the only reason I'm going is as support and an audience for you, essentially. And apparently maybe a backpack carrier.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't want to ruin my costume with the backpack.
And that's fair. And that's fair. And I'm going to be in the corner with the recording equipment, hopefully, if we can get that in, talking to different women and those who have, are dressing as females, I guess, essentially, and see what's going on in their heads and how they came up with their costumes. Because I will say, the one thing about Dragon Con, just going through the parade or even driving through Atlanta during this time, there's some elaborate costumes. And people put a lot of hard work and a lot of money in these things.
Oh, yeah. And that's my favorite part of Dragon Con is just seeing the creativity of the costumes.
A lot of puns.
And you know I love puns.
There's so many puns.
Oh, yeah. I got some good pun costumes.
Oh, I know you do.
I mean, Snap Judgment, obviously.
Obviously.
but we're not only talking about Dragon Con today, although it might come up some. We're talking about the fake geek girl and toxic fandom at large. And this is something that I do know a lot about. And we've touched on these topics in a handful of episodes, but pretty sure, unless my memory and Google is failing me, we've never done an entire episode on it. And there is a fake geek girls podcast out there.
Cool, cool.
Yeah. Okay, so definition time. Geek. A person who has excessive enthusiasm for and some expertise about a specialized subject or activity.
That's geek.
Yeah. I used to have like a debate about like nerd versus geek.
I feel like there was a hierarchy when it came to those types of
Oh, I've been in many
names.
Arguments about it. People have their opinions and they're almost always different. And it's the one that they claim to be is the best one.
Oh, see, I always claimed to be the nerd. I always was called a nerd growing up because of my love for books and writing and, you know.
See, I was always called a dork because I feel like a dork is a softer, I don't know, a goofier.
Mm-hmm.
This is all just,
right.
I haven't looked it up. So if we look at fake geek girl, this is a woman pretending to be nerdy to attract male attention.
Mm.
There is no other reason for a woman to like something. Right?
Or have a specialized,
No, just to attract men.
Mm-hmm. That's why I do things.
Oh, yeah. That's my whole goal in life.
Right.
Usually they are conventionally attractive, these fake geek girls, because it is a real geek dude's fantasy. It's a woman entering their boys-only clubhouse. So the only way that these women can exist in there is by being a sexual object to be enjoyed by them. And geeks are generally assumed to be men unless the girl, not woman, by the way, is added. That already makes them an outsider. So, like, just the fact we have to specify geek is assumed to be male, geek girl, you have to, like, have that label. That means the masculinity of geek culture is just as policed as jocks are inside locker rooms. And it is a way for dudes to blame women for rejection. She's just a fake geek girl. And so this fake geek girl is a meme. You've probably seen it. It's a white woman, a white young woman with kind of brown hair, bangs, glasses. And on her hand, she has a nerd written on it. And that's kind of the meme you'll see, the fake geek girl. And it's everywhere. It is everywhere. Scott Snyder's Batman number 13 had an ad with a woman wearing a shirt that said imposter on the front. And the speech bubble said, I basically spend like all day looking at lolcats on Facebook. I'm such a huge nerd. Then there's Dirk Mannings, who is a comic writer. He has this Facebook post that said, "Dear girls who take pictures in slutty clothing and glasses and label the caption nerd, LOL, you're not a nerd. You're a whore who found glasses."
He seems like an angry man.
He does. That's a, there's no need for that.
Unnecessary.
Oh, we've got another angry man. Ooh, another comic book writer.
Love angry men.
Oh, they're our favorites. Okay, this is from Tony Harris, and it's long, so I'm going to read it. "I can't remember if I said this before, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't give a crap. I appreciate a pretty gal as much as the next hetero male. Sometimes I even go in for some racy type stuff, keeping the comments PG for my lady's sake."
What?
"But damn it, damn it, damn it. I am so sick and tired of the whole cosplay chicks. I know a few who are actually pretty cool and, big shocker, love and read comics. So as in all things, they are the exception to the rule. Here's the statement I want to make based on the rule. Hey, quasi-pretty, not hot girl, you are more pathetic than the real nerds who you secretly think are really pathetic. But we are onto you. Some of us are aware that you are ever so average on an everyday basis. But you have a couple of things going your way. You are willing to become almost completely naked in public, and you're either skinny, well, some or most of you think that you are, or you have big boobies. Notice I didn't say great boobies. You are what I refer to as con hot. Well, not by my estimation, but according to a lot of average comic book fans who either rarely speak to or never speak to girls. Some virgins, all unconfident when it comes to girls. And the one thing they all have in common? They are being preyed on by you. You have this really awful need for attention, for people to tell you you are pretty or hot, and the thought of guys pleasuring themselves to the memory of you hanging on them with your glossy open lips, promising them the moon and the stars of pleasure, just makes your head vibrate. After many years of watching this go down every 3 seconds around in front of my booth or table at any given con in this country, I put this together. Well, not just me. We are Legion. And here it is, the reason why all that sickens us, because you don't know about comics beyond whatever Google image search you did to get reference on the most mainstream character with the most revealing costume ever. And also, if any of these guys that you hang on tried to talk to you out of the con, you wouldn't give them the f***ing time of day. Shut up, you damned liar. No, you would not. Lying, liar face. You're not comics. You're just the thing that all the comic book and mainstream press flock to at cons. And the real reason for the con and the damned costumes you're parading around in, that would be comic book artists and comic book writers who make all that shit up."
Okay. Why is he so angry? Why isn't he just letting it go? And hey, even if that is the case, you're getting publicity. Move on, man.
You should just send him a note. Move on, man.
Yeah. You sound sad. And you sound like you've been rejected a lot. And I'm probably going to get doxxed just for saying this, because I'm sure he's somebody's hero is really sad and lonely, as he said. And he's like, oh, you're standing up for all men. Good job. I don't know how to say that. Sit down. Calm down. You're insignificant. If this is what you have to rant about, this is your issue in life, just sit down.
Yeah. It'll be okay.
Dude, just, if they're pretty, move on. You don't have to compliment them. You don't even have to look at their costume.
You don't have to acknowledge
any of those
them at
things.
All.
They don't have to exist for you. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Just let them be. Why are you so sad and lonely?
Samantha's turned this around on you, sir.
I'm just saying, it's going to be okay, boo-boo. It's going to be okay.
And then there's Joe Peacock, who wrote, "There's a growing chorus of frustration in the geek community with, and there's no other way to put this, pretty girls pretending to be geeks for attention. San Diego Comic-Con is the largest vehicle, but it's hardly the only convention populated with, quote, hot chicks wearing skimpy outfits simply to get a bunch of gawking geeks' heads to turn, just to satisfy their hollow egos."
Okay, I'm seriously confused about why they are so upset about pretty girls.
Oh, well, they're upset about pretty girls existing in their space and not being sexual objects just for them to consume.
Is that what it is?
Well, it's that, in part, too, there's this sense of if you were a child and being a nerd was not cool and you got beat up for it, perhaps, that you had to go through this stuff and it's like an exclusive club. And now people are just, in their minds, they just look good, don't understand it,
right,
coming into our world.
So it's that whole world of, I'll listen to them before they're popular. I like this before they were cool.
Yeah.
Mentality.
Yeah. And there's definite gatekeeping and entitlement. And we're going to talk about some of this more later. And also just a geek, anything that depends on expertise to like your credentials of how much of a geek you are depends on how much you know about a certain thing.
Gotcha.
Then they're automatically with that is a level of judgment of thinking.
Like I can understand if they're upset because someone else is making money on something they didn't dedicate themselves to, but just enjoying it.
Yeah.
Seems kind of a little harsh.
Well, and also, and we mentioned this a little bit in fan fiction, there is a, people look down on how women more traditionally celebrate fandom, like writing fan fiction or making costumes. Because if you look at arts and crafts, who are more likely to engage in that, it is women.
Right.
So women are making these costumes and some of these men are looking down on that as that is not true fandom. That is not true nerddom.
How dare they?
How dare they? And who agrees is Dr. Nerdlove, who responded, being sexy is great as long as you've passed this ideological test that shows that you are indeed a true geek and not one of those hideous posers. I'm sure Peacock, who is the person whose comments we just read, I'm sure Peacock means well, but what he is saying is, ladies, you are only allowed to express yourself sexually if you follow my rules. Right. This is continuing the long-running attitudes still prevalent in geek culture that women are allowed to partake in fandom and geek culture if and only if they fulfill specific criteria, and even then, only if they participate in pre-approved manners. The fake geek girl is the nerd equivalent of the welfare queen, a semi-mythical beast who somehow ruins things for everybody by, well, nobody's entirely sure.
Right.
Confusing their poor, sad boners, evidently. Nobody has ever been able to explain to my satisfaction just how this hurts geek culture. Somebody dressing up in a sexy costume because being ogled makes them feel good doesn't affect me or my friends' participation in geek culture in any meaningful way. Putting the blame on these fake geek attention grabbers for narrowly defining the role of women in geekdom only serves to absolve the men who act as gatekeepers, insisting that the only role open to women is to be a sexual object rather than a full partner, while denigrating them for doing so at the exact same time. The idea of the fake geek girl only serves as a way of dismissing or diminishing the presence of women in geekdom. If she doesn't conform to some arbitrary standard, she's clearly a fake, only in it for the attention, because if there's anything women do, it spend hours upon hours of time and effort just to rile dudes up with absolutely no payoff.
That's what I'm doing here.
Oh,
isn't
yeah.
that what you're doing here?
Yeah.
I love riling dudes up.
Right? Yeah.
Never mind.
Never mind.
Never mind about that.
And so from my personal experience being in costumes at conventions, I've had men come up to me and quiz me for sure. How much do you know about this character? Do you know every Russian word that sets off the Winter Soldier? Can you do them for me?
Do you?
I can do what I would assume is not very great Russian pronunciation, but I know the general sounds.
I'm impressed, but of course you would know. Of course you're Annie. Of course you would know.
I have watched Winter Soldier several times.
I almost watched it last night.
Oh, no.
But I couldn't because you weren't there.
We gotta wait. We gotta do it together.
Right.
Men ask if they can pose with me in sexy ways, take pictures where I'm in like some kind of sexy pose, like holding my breast or making out or carrying me on their shoulder. I've had men accuse me of knowing nothing about the character I was dressed as. Men say that they see me every year and they know, quote, exactly what I'm doing.
What?
I don't know. They know. I don't know.
Right.
I'm just trying to have fun here. On the other side of the spectrum, I've had men act offensively impressed that I know literally anything about nerddom and immediately act as though we must have sex immediately. We've got a date. We were soulmates, obviously. The first year I went there, an old man bought me a Bud Light. The first year I went to DragonCon and then asked me up to his hotel room.
A Bud Light. That's not the drink to be like, hey, come hang with me in my hotel room.
And I'm so oblivious. I was just thrilled at a free beer that I saw someone else pour.
Right. Look, if you're going to buy me a beer, I'm going to move on. That's not a promise. That's just you being dumb.
Future episode. I actually want to reexamine that because I've always kind of been torn on what to do. Anyway, okay, all kinds of unwanted touching. We've done episodes about that, and you've probably heard it in the news. And the attitude that since you're dressed up as a certain character, is totally cool. Like, you're no longer human anymore. Right. They're this rendering of a character that they have an idea about. Or sometimes they think it's just funny, especially because I gender bend. So I'm usually dressed as, like, a female version of a male character. So a lot of dudes think that's hilarious. I've had cops make inappropriate comments and ask me out when I'm dressed in costume, and we have literally not said anything to each other. It just comes up. You know what? I'd like to take you out on a date. No, sir. No, sir. And Samantha and I, at our upcoming convention, we're going to take a tally of how many sexist comments we receive or overhear.
Yeah, we're going to do a little survey and find out how prevalent that is. Because last year, they did have an incident, and they actually had a video, I think, of a woman being accosted, and they were trying to find this man at Dragon Con. So I know that people have become a little more aware of what's happening and how inappropriate this is.
Mm-hmm. I have certainly observed so much sexism at cons, and it has certainly deterred some of my friends from going. And I have seen women judge women dressed for too sexy for essentially being fake geek girls. I have friends of mine that used to do that before they grew up and realized the error of their ways.
Right.
But I've seen women do it.
That's the thing. It's like I I know I've said it repeatedly, one of the reasons I don't go to convention like this as an Asian woman, there's a whole level of fetishism that happens already. So when you go into, and for me, even though there's so many other things at Dragon Con, anime is one of the first things I think of. And that's typically one of the, you know, I was like, oh no, we can't hang out if you're obsessed. It's one thing to have an interest and it's one thing to like it. But to me, there's a whole level of why you want to talk to me.
Right.
So that to me, like, even though I think it's getting less and less, but that fetish is still very, very, very existent. I definitely get asked out based on me being Asian.
Right.
And now my sexy voice. Just kidding. It's not happening. But I'm just, like, that's one of the reasons I stay away, far, far away. And I typically don't dress up. If I dress up, it's going to be a funny character.
Right.
Than a sexy character.
Yeah.
Typically for me.
Yeah. And caveat here, I do normally have a pretty good experience.
Right.
This is making it sound horrible. But I want to say, this, all of this stuff happens to me when I'm alone. I think when we're together, I'm not sure that this is going to happen.
Well, it's kind of like that pack mentality, and I'm sure we could go into that later on, but men have this thing about women being alone versus being in a pack.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it doesn't even deter men in general.
Yeah.
Especially if there's a male in the group, then it kind of like, or someone of the opposite sex or someone of different sex, that just kind of pulls everything apart for the prey versus...
That's predator
mentality, but it kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I could definitely see, especially at these types of conferences, if you're not with a group, that obviously means you need friends, quote unquote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at that lonely winter soldier. Aww. I think I'll go up and harass her.
Yes. That's what I think every time.
Yeah, sure. And another thing I want to add in here is something that I've only started to think about after being on this show, is being feminist and wearing costumes that were designed with the male gaze in mind. So sexy costumes.
Right.
And feeling conflict about it, especially when there are young children around.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one thing, I've said it before, I love dressing up in sexy costumes every now and then. Not all the time.
Right.
Sometimes I'm not in the place. But sometimes, feeling it, I do it for myself. But I don't think it's perceived that way because our society has not set it up to be perceived that way for so long. So I worry that kids see that perception as opposed to just the strong woman who wants to dress sexy.
Yeah.
So that's in the back of my head now, too. That's something I think about.
Well, if you think about all old comics and the characters and the way women were drawn in general, you're like, what the hell are they wearing? And now today's translations into our movie in, you know, Wonder Woman, it's kind of like that fine balance.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that I hope we'll get to come back to, because a lot of people have written in about it, is why is it that women, when during Halloween, say, it's become like sexy costumes. And I think I subscribe to the Mean Girls theory that it's because we're judged so harshly any other time for dressing sexy. So it's like the one time we feel like we can.
Right.
But there's a lot of other stuff at play. I haven't done the research yet. So if you disagree, please don't. Yell at me quite yet. but that's something we'll return to.
To me, it's just wearing all black with some kind of animal ears. That's the best way to go.
That your costume?
That's gonna be my costume. Wearing all black and then cat ears.
Well,
I did rabbit ears one year.
Comfort is key.
Yes.
Comfort is key. So why does this whole fake geek girl thing exist? Well, as always, for a couple of reasons. One, nerddom has long been seen as a male alternative for being traditionally male. So it's the alternative if you're not that buff, strong dude that is, you know, when we think of the most masculine, manly man, that's the image, the sports jock type thing. So nerddom has been the alternative to that. And in our movies, we see it all the time. You got the jocks and the nerds always get the girl. They're entitled to the girl because the male dude wrote it, and that's what they think.
Right.
Having knowledge, being a nerd, was another way to be competent. So if a woman started doing this, then does that mean nerddom is less manly?
Right.
Or nerds are only passing as men. And or if it is defined on how much you know, then it fosters gatekeeping, like we said. And men have traditionally done this gatekeeping. And women who got past that frequently had to give up a part of their identity to do so. So be a less feminine, not this pretty fake geek girl.
Right.
So it can be easy to lash out against people, women in this scenario that didn't give up a part of their identity. In our eyes, like, you have to do that. Fans of something see it as part of their identity.
Yeah, I mean, it's hardcore.
It is hardcore.
It's hardcore.
But it doesn't have to be. There are different levels of fandom. And like I said earlier, I think a part of it too is that nerddom used to come with this rite of passage of getting beat up or being isolated. So when you see someone who you think didn't have to go through that, using the label you used to find solace or to find people like you to feel less alone, then you might want to lash out. And I know we read something about that in our, I think our Star Wars episode mm-hmm. about toxic fandom. But I can never find it, but I know John Oliver has a bit where he says, nerds, you've inherited the earth. Like,
right.
It's over.
Well, that's kind of the new joke is how that's kind of, I think it was the silly movie with Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum, the little cop movie.
They go
back to school, but mm-hmm. the roles have reversed. And now Jonah's the cool kid who was the nerd in high school and got beat up. And the jock is being made fun of, which mm-hmm. is Channing Tatum. Character. Like it does the flip. And then like, although in the early 90s, late 80s, the nerds had their own franchise, The Revenge of the Nerds.
I know.
It was a really creepy movie too.
It was terrible.
It was really awful. But they had a whole franchise based on, and of course these nerds were really buff nerds. It was really weird to me.
Right.
But yeah, stuff like that has become a part of like the flip of the script type of mentality.
Mm-hmm. And as I said, there are different levels of fandom.
Right.
So that's a totally okay thing. Some of us we're all in. Some of us are casual. And it differs from fandom to fandom.
Right.
And I personally don't understand gatekeeping and shutting people out from fandoms that we love. I feel like I want to share it with everybody.
I think you do that really well, which is also why I've been watching Supernatural. It was because of you, essentially. You talked about it enough. I'm like, cool, I'll give it a... Because I am a... Maybe they would call me a poser because I enjoy it. I know about it, but I'm not going to go all the way in.
I don't think you're a poser. That's your level.
That's my level. It's like I like all the Captain Marvel movies. I will watch them, and I will not watch them 10 times in a week.
Right.
Annie.
Well, I don't know, Samantha. Just let me be a little bit more persuasive. Might get you in there.
But like things like that, I won't be standing in line for 4 hours to go ride a Hagrid ride.
Well, if you had been willing to do it, you would have been able to walk right on. So think about that dedication. I was rewarded by the fandom gods.
You were, and I love the new text that I get from you to show me the wait times of the Hagrid ride, even though we're nowhere near the park.
I keep checking it. Like every morning I check it. It got down to 2 hours.
That 150, I was like, oh God, she's going to get on a plane.
Yeah.
Like she's going to try to get there now. But yeah, I definitely am one of those. But yeah, I definitely see the dedication. And people, when you start seeing message boards and actually seeing like icons, people use, is that what they are, pictures, profile pictures
mm-hmm.
Of whatever character they're in love with.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty fascinating.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. And I love the creativity of the costumes. And part of that, like the crafting, as we said, though, that's predominantly female.
Right.
But the creativity of it and just seeing the puns people come up with
are
just how impressive something is. And it takes time and it takes money.
Right.
You can do it cheaply, but it can be very expensive. And to just dismiss that as this isn't real fandom.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
The level of research alone to get the precision.
Oh, like, yeah.
The details on these people's costumes are amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And they might even be sexy.
How dare you?
I know.
Is someone going to do a sexy Thanos?
I guarantee it. One of the costumes I remember the most, and I apologize in advance, was a sexy Pennywise.
Which I just saw that movie. Ew.
Yeah.
Also clown.
It was a really good.
Which, by the way, I know this has nothing to do with this, but that whole scene with him being in the room full of the figurines and of clowns, yes. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm scared of.
That's Samantha's very specific fear of statues.
They came to life.
Well, okay, I'll keep that in mind. I'll try to do better about warning you about statues. That's my bad.
Figurines.
That's my bad.
And whatever they are.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm not down with this, I'm not down with looking down on how other people express their fandom.
You tell them.
As long as it's not hurting anybody else, I don't get it.
I think that's the mantra. Why does it bother you if it's not actually physically taking away a right or happiness or something that it's actually, then why?
And also, women have always been geeks. Just want to put that out there. Throughout history, I know Mary Shelley is an example of one of the first geeks. We're just more visible now and we're taking up space and people don't like.
And also people are actually acknowledging that.
Yes.
As a thing.
Mm-hmm. We have some more for you on toxic fandom. But first, we have a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. So, toxic fandom, this has been thrown about our vernacular a lot lately. And it's made up of three things, essentially. Entitlement, a feeling of superiority, and possessiveness. If that fandom has been traditionally white and male, then anything outside of that, that messes with this sense of possessiveness. And it's not limited to nerdy things at all. Music is another big one. Mm-hmm. Like K-pop. I know that's come up, example of how female singers can't date because the fans are so possessive.
It's like an old school back throwback when actors were not allowed to share anything about their private life and had to pretend like they were always open mm-hmm. or never in a relationship and single.
Right. And right. I heard that rumor kind of around Taylor Swift for a while.
Was it? I know, but then they get really possessive in the sense of Justin Bieber. When he and Selena Gomez broke up and he got married, they started going after his wife, like, mean mm-hmm. because it should have been this other woman. And you're just going like, damn, y'all, let them live their lives. Why? I get it. If you don't like his music, sure. If he's a dick, sure. But because he married someone else, like that level, and then we know the Hive will come after you.
Oh, yeah.
These people are really scary.
They're very passionate in their...
Very passionate.
Yes. And some of these... celebrities have had to address their fan base and say, I don't tolerate this type of behavior.
Right.
And if we go back to entitlement, that comes with a sense of ownership. This might involve death threats to the creator if things don't go the way that the fan thinks that it should.
Game of Thrones,
yeah.
Petition.
Yeah, the petitions. See that. Fairly often, actually. And I hear it with any kind of ending people don't like.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
But they make things happen, like the Veronica Mars stuff.
Well, that's an example of good fandom.
Right.
Although that does come with the double-edged sword of then you feel like you have to do fan service because they essentially
right.
made it happen.
Which Kristen Bell actually
She talked
addressed.
About it. Yeah, she did. And then if we look at the superiority, you're better than the so-called normies. Or casuals, which are the terms they use, are muggles sometimes, even outside of Harry Potter. Toxic fandom is sometimes called protective fandom, fans thinking that they are protecting or preserving the fandom as they believe it should be. And I've told the story on this very show how I stopped playing games online because of toxic fandom.
Right.
Michelle Rodriguez was booed after saying destructive male culture while on a panel called Women Who Kick Ass. A man shouted at her, women who talk too much. Ugh. Then there's Brie Larson. Mm-hmm. I think she just said, we need more women. And everyone was like, fire her immediately.
Right.
And then the reaction to Marvel Phase 4, which is much more diverse than it has been traditionally. People saying, oh, it's ruined.
Like three women.
Exactly.
How dare you?
And then they're all white redheads.
Right.
there was even that cut of the Avengers where they took out all the women, all male Avengers. That things like that. And then if we look at Star Wars, there's Daisy Ridley and Kelly Marie Tran being bullied off social media. They're both in the new Star Wars.
Right. And then the movies like Charlize Theron was on Mad Max. They're pissed.
Yeah.
That she was one of the heroes, even though essentially she still got rescued.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what's happening? And their whole men's rights movement mm-hmm. about boycotting that movie and things like that. It's just so baffling.
Yeah. Another thing that baffles me. Actors on Voltron received death threats because of their response to questions around shipping. So I've said it in another episode, but this is when you are pushing for a certain relationship.
Okay.
And they thought that, I think the actors just said, people should ship whoever they want. And not everyone, but a very vocal group of fans said, you're wrong. This is the only ship, you monster. Death threats. Then Dan Harmon, he had to essentially condemn half the fans of Rick and Morty.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
And they're... It's one of those things, unfortunate things, where it's been taken by men's rights activists and sort of turned into, so like we talked about incels.
Right.
So like Alpha is Rick and then Beta is Morty.
Gotcha.
And then whatever the dad's name, Jerry, he's the other thing. And they attacked a McDonald's in, I think, San Francisco, Rick and Morty fans because they ran out of the Szechuan sauce. They were threatening McDonald's employees.
That is... This is a cartoon, right?
Yes.
Are people going to get mad at me when I'm like, we're over a cartoon of a non-existent place and characters, correct?
Yep.
And this has nothing... I'm sorry, I'm going off track. Keep going.
A Steven Universe artist was forced to quit after she was threatened by fans for drawing a pairing of a ship that they didn't like. Members of a Sherlock panel, the BBC show, were harassed based on their preference of who tops in that universe.
Huh?
Exactly. Huh? I think one of them was given a candy with needles in it.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Then there's the practice of swatting.
Yeah.
That's when you call SWAT teams on someone during a gaming dispute. And this has resulted in at least one death.
Yeah, that's a 20-year sentence.
Mm-hmm. Rotten Tomatoes changed its review policy to prevent mostly male participants in toxic fandom from bombing movies on their site.
Oh, right, right.
Usually before they even seen them. Movies with female and or people of color in lead roles. Captain Marvel, Black Panther, Wonder Woman, they were all targets.
The new Ghostbusters.
Star Wars, Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. Tumblr added tag blocking. And fandoms have this power because this is a group that people who make movies, studios, feel beholden to because mm-hmm. that it's guaranteed money
right.
if you please them. And I'm sorry if that sounds callous, but it's true.
Right.
And that can prevent studios from making more inclusive choices or like braver storyline choices. And this is not to absolve studios at all. But we can't absolve toxic fandom either, especially when studios do make these decisions and the actors pay the price via social media. It's like a reverse death of the author problem when the fans are the problem, not the creator.
Right.
And creators can be involved in it too, though, especially when they say a true fan can only believe in their interpretation.
Ooh.
Yes, I believe Anne Rice is a good example.
Ooh.
And it's really bad, this whole thing, in terms of things like Fight Club or The Matrix, where toxic, again, largely male fans took the original work and turned it into something poisonous,
right.
like representative of red pill, blue pill, and that's not how it was meant. I mean, Fight Club was supposed to be a satire about
yeah.
toxic masculinity.
Right.
But it has been usurped by fans.
Every time.
Every time!
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yes. Hashtag not all fans. we're making it sound awful. There are parts of it, parts of it that are just truly terrible and frightening. And it scares some people away. And that is really frustrating to me.
Yeah.
Some of it, though, is beautiful and rewarding and sometimes transformative. It can give you hobbies, friends, maybe even significant others. It can be a place to find your tribe. I found one of my best friends. I went up to talk to her because she had a Harry Potter folder. It's the whole reason
I went up to talk to her.
And we're still best friends to this day. She will be at DragonCon with me.
Oh, is she? And are you guys the ones going to
Orlando?
Orlando again in November?
Mm-hmm.
Full circle.
It's all coming full
circle.
Coming
together.
And it's thanks to fandom. It's a place you can hone your creativity. It can be all these things.
Right.
But it can be very, very toxic.
It can be also a thing that is a criteria. Where, like, if they don't like Harry Potter, I'm very suspicious of you.
I used to have that rule in dating, kind of, like, jokingly and kind of seriously. Like, you're going to have to either...
Start watching it now.
Yeah. Or we're going to watch some together
right.
or read them. And that's just how it is.
But there's a few things that I'm like, okay, if you don't like this, we're going to have a talk. We're going to... Because it's going to be on. You're just going to have to deal with it when I'm sitting there watching all eight videos of it. How many is it?
Of Harry Potter? Eight.
Yeah. Eight videos, mm-hmm. back to back to back to back.
Yeah. And I don't want your snide comments.
Right, don't start with me.
Exactly. We sound like we're very, we've got good criteria for dating.
No,
must like Harry Potter, check.
Well, and that's why I'm not married. Not that I want to be.
Well, we do have a little bit more for you, but first we have one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. So, toxic fandom is a big topic right now. I feel like Fate Geek Girl, the tide is turning where most people are like, that's nonsense. It doesn't exist.
Right.
There are definitely still angry men who are pointing at any sexy lady that walks by. But I feel like now there's women are pointing at them like, mm-mm.
Right.
So, I think the tide is turning there slowly, ever so slowly. Toxic fandom has been in the news a lot, and it just the fact that it's influenced these companies to change their policies says a lot. So right. I wasn't able to find, we always want to end on a hopeful note. Here's what you can do. Well, I couldn't find too much, but I did see in your feed, you can mute or block and or report toxic fans in your feeds. There's a debate around just muting versus actually reporting, because then it will remove it from all of your followers' feeds.
Hmm.
So perhaps a future episode on that one. From YouTuber ALB in Wonderland, there is no such thing as a fake geek girl. There are only girls who are different, varying levels of falling in love with something that the society generically considers to fall under the nerd culture category.
Right.
So, the fake geek girl. Well, that's a good costume, actually.
Being a fake geek girl?
Being a real fake geek girl.
How do you do that?
I don't know. You dress as the meme. But you got to have some kind of clever... I'll think about that later.
Right. I did dress up as a generic anime girl. Uh-huh. I think that's what it was. My character was generic Asian anime character. And I was wearing a schoolgirl uniform.
Mm.
That was just for one event. I feel sad.
You'll never do it again.
I'll never do it again because I actually busted two tires and had to go to the varsity and wait on someone to help me change tires in that costume.
Oh, man.
On a day that wasn't Dragon Con, nor was it Halloween. It was someone's birthday party who loved Dragon Con and wanted to have their birthday party at Trader Vic's. And so they asked us to dress up and I did it because it was their birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I would like that to be known.
Okay. You were doing it. You were again acting for a friend. I understand. I won't make any.
I hope there's no pictures.
I've often felt that way. But I guess our hopeful note, I just want to once again reiterate, sharing is what makes fandom beautiful, right. What helps it grow and thrive and become better, not shutting out. A fandom that you never allow to change and you never allow new people in will die.
Right. And it's so much fun because, like I said, I get caught onto your excitement. The reason I haven't watched, and I've seen it before, The Winter Soldier, is because I know how much you love it. So I know it's going to be even better watching it with you.
Yes.
And that's why I'm like, this is fun, even though like I like it a mm-hmm. lot and I watch it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, like, I'm not all into it as you are, that you have a costume that you keep fixing up and making better each year.
The Arm 4.0.
Yeah. But like, that's the thing, is that true fandom, if you're a true fan, you would want other people to understand it too.
Yeah, and at varying levels. Just the fact that you're willing to watch the movie, that's all I need.
I'm excited.
I wish we had video footage of that time you read the list of best Marvel movies.
And your reaction?
Least, from worst to best. And as it gets further and further and the Winter Soldier hasn't been announced yet,
right.
I'm like, oh yeah.
That's the one. That's
oh
the
yeah.
Number one.
It's number one. It's number one. And then it was number one. This is turning into the Winter Soldier podcast. I apologize. See, this is fandom. But I hope that we can make it a better place, a safer place. For everyone.
Right.
Yes. And we would love for you listeners to write in if you've had experiences with fake geek girl being right. called that and toxic fandom. What costumes are you working on? If you're going to be at Dragon Con 2019, let us know. Come find us.
I'll be in all black with Annie's backpack. Come
yes.
find me.
My very recognizable black backpack. Yep. You can email us at stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast and on Instagram at @StuffMomNeverToldYou. Thanks as always to our super producer, Andrew Howard.
Andrew.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff Mom Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.